This past week, as I was taking this box to my office from and putting some of the signing on there, there was a little girl in the church, and she asked me what was in the box, and I said nothing, and she was curious, and so I opened it up, and I showed her that there was nothing in the box, and I closed it, and she said, "Is God in the box?" And it's an interesting question, and I said, "Well, I guess he is, because God is everywhere, right?" And then I started to think, how often do we, you and I, put God in a box this big? Whether we're facing trials or suffering, or whether we're not sure if God is calling us to serve in a certain area, we put him in a box and we say, "God, I can't make it through this suffering. I can't get through this time, or there's no way I could serve in that capacity." We put God in a box. We put God in a box because we try to figure out, humanly speaking, how can I figure this out? There's no way, and when we take time, we try, how am I going to figure this out? How am I going to get to this next stage? How am I going to serve God in a particular role, whether it's teaching, whether it's preaching, whether, I don't know what it is. But how am I going to do that? But one of the things, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, is I began a little mini sermon series called Missing Heaven by 16 Inches is, do you know God? Because if you know God, or you believe you know God, and he just fits into this little box, then you don't know God. And man, there are so many people in our church that are suffering and struggling with one thing or the other. But God is above the seemingly impossible. We sometimes fear whether God is near or really says who he is. Fear not, for I am with you. That's what we read in Scripture. It's a command. Don't be afraid. When the God who rules over the nations, as described in Isaiah 41, 2-4, the God who chose us and loves us, as described in Isaiah 4, 41, 8, and 9, when that God tells us, fear not, when the God who took Israel through what he took Israel through and brought them into the land that he had promised him, we must take it seriously. We have to take it seriously. But there's also a promise. We fear not because the Lord has told us, I am with you. It's not just that we muster something up, but it's that God is with us. That's why we fear not. What more do we need? If God is for us, then who can be against us in Romans? Don't be afraid. Isaiah 41 says this. 41:10 says this. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Fear not, for I am with you. That's what God tells us. And so as we're going through life, as we're going through struggles, don't put God in a box. He doesn't belong there. He doesn't live there. He can't live there. God is beyond that. But we need to know him and trust him. With that, I want to turn the rest of this morning over to Terry. Terry, come on up. And And it's 11:29, and I don't want you to look at that time again. Actually, for me, they keep it up. For you guys, I want you to take the time down so they're not restricted by time. Could you do that, please?
I got a preacher's heart. I won't listen anyway.
Okay, perfect. That's what I do, too. Thank you so much.
Good morning. How's everyone doing today? Thank you for having us here. We very much appreciate coming. Thank you for opening up your church. I know this church supports Teen Challenge very, very much, and we want to thank you for that. As he said, my name is Terry. I am part of the development team at Teen Challenge, so I get to have the fun of going out and doing these things almost every Sunday. My family gets to not see me ever on Sundays, but that's okay. There's so many around people that are hurting, that are struggling, that are broken. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Jesus came to seek the lost and seek those broken. And he's calling us here at Teen Challenge to do the very same thing. A question that I ask at every outreach that I go to, and I've been at a couple of churches where nobody's given me an answer, but I think you guys will give me an answer, is who knows, who can get addicted? Everybody. Addiction can affect all walks of life. All ages, male, female, rich, poor, sinners, and saints. Anyone can be addicted. But how does an addiction start? What causes it to start? Sometimes it's painful experiences or trauma that you've had growing up. Or sometimes it's the hard parts of life that you're going through right now. Anybody have stress in their life today? Yeah. Stress, anxiety, depression, fear, hardships, mental and physical injuries. These are just some of the hard parts of life that become those trauma triggers that can lead to just wanting to numb the pain, forget about your struggles, and escape the stress of life altogether. John 10:10 says that the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if you look at the state of the world that we have today, you can see that there are so many around that are hurting, so many that are beat down by life struggles. I'm sure you've noticed it across our country. It's all over the news. But have you noticed it here in Saskatchewan? Maybe you've noticed it in your own town, your own neighborhood. Or unfortunately, maybe you've noticed it in your own home. Here in Saskatchewan, it's suspected that about 421 people died of opiate overdoses last year in 2022. And I just read on the news the other day that just this year already, there's already nearly 200 that have already passed away from overdoses. It's more than one a day just here in Saskatchewan. Now, of all the things that we like to be proud of for Saskatchewan for statistics, that is not one of the ones that we want to be proud of. There are so many around us that are hurting, that are beat down, that are broken, that are struggling and hopeless. So yes, the enemy is doing his very best to steal, to kill, and to destroy everything that God has created. But I'm glad that there's more to John 10:10. Jesus continues on to say that I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. At Teen Challenge, we want to echo those words. Our mission at Teen Challenge is to help men and women overcome substance addiction to lead full, productive lives. Not just to overcome their addictions, but to give them a full life afterwards. There's a great need for our ministry, and we want to be there for those who are hurting, those who are struggling, to provide help, to provide hope, to provide freedom from their addictions, and ultimately to help them find the changing power that Christ can bring for their lives. Here at Teen Challenge, we provide a 12-month in-residence, faith-based drug and alcohol recovery program for men and women 18 years and older. Now, today is a little bit different. Normally, when I go out on an outreach, I've got just two or three guys with me. But today, I've got, how many guys are here? 15? And some of the girls here. You guys want to stand up? I put them on the spot all the time. These are the ones that who are in right now, just some of them. It's not an easy program, is it, guys? It's not always easy. 12 months away from your loved ones, sometimes my wife probably looks at me and goes, can I get rid of you for a little while? But 12 months away from loved ones is hard. Getting through the withdrawal symptoms, talking with counselors, working through emotions and your past traumas, living with a bunch of other people that you don't know. Sharing rooms with people, developing new coping skills, developing new life skills, healthy routines that transfer into successful, sober life afterwards. And one of the harder parts is learning to rebuild and restore broken relationships. This is what we do. This is what God does through us. We are proud that we have 9 centers in 3 different regions all across Canada. But here in Saskatchewan, I'm super stoked that we have 2. We've got the Saskatchewan Men's Center out by Allen, and we've got the Women's Center by Haig. You look at these 2 centers, and ladies, I'm going to be critical of your building here for a minute. Because we look at these 2 buildings, and I go, that's the guy's place, this is the girl's place, that is a nice resort. The guys get this old farmhouse. Guys, ladies get this nice little building. The guys complain to me all the time, like, can we just trade spots? And I'm like, no, because you would destroy that building in about a week. So, but inside the walls of those buildings, that is where ministry is happening. That is where lives are being changed every single day. This is where they find the freedom that they need and the happiness that comes with that freedom. God is moving and working inside those walls. It's always a blessing for me when I get to go to either center and I get to see the changes in everybody. I get out to the guy's center whenever I can, but every time I do get out there, I see a change in everybody. I see a little bit more happiness coming along. I see a little bit more brightness in their eyes. Same thing with the ladies. Every time I see you guys are a little bit more happy. You're enjoying life a little bit more. And that's amazing to see. In their program, they have several phases. When they come in, they've got phases 1 through 3, induction, training, and transition. Each one has about 4 months. During that time, staff help them overcome obstacles, they celebrate successes, and they support them as they move forward. And near the end of the program, each individual gets ready to go back to their communities, go back to work, go back to school, and re-enter family life. Or they can stay on and further their recovery with what we call phase 4. It's an internship program where they can stay on and help work with the staff to help others who are still there going through their recovery. But during each phase, they get stronger and they learn a new life of sobriety. And with each phase, their walk with God gets stronger and they begin to find a new identity with Christ as the center, and they find out who He wants them to be. We believe that faith transforms, and forming a relationship with Christ will lead to powerful change and transform their lives. And it's this focus on faith and the changing power of God that makes us unique from other programs. And through the grace of God, working through Teen Challenge, they discover a new and better way to live with Jesus Christ as the center. When this change happens, a number of things can happen. A number of changes will happen. The first one that I think happens is the burden and the cost of addiction right here in our own communities is going to go down. The second thing that happens is families, family units, lives are restored. And the most important thing that I know happens is the work of the enemy is destroyed. I'm so excited that to know that God is still in the changing lives business. He hasn't forgotten us at all. To see what God does in every one of these men and women's lives is nothing short of a miracle. Each one of them is a walking miracle, a walking testimony to what God can do in a life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, I like the NLT version, says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun." So I want you, today we're going to have a couple of people come up and they're going to share what God has done in their lives. So Tanner, come on up.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tanner. I was born in Northwest Territories into a good Christian family, but moved shortly thereafter to Alberta for my dad's work. I was homeschooled until grade 4 and had a close-knit group of friends who were also homeschooled. One friend's mother was extremely strict with us, so much that she would scream for us for small things like having mud on our clothes. This made me feel like I was always going to be in trouble and carried this sentiment with me as I grew older. After being homeschooled, I was enrolled into a Christian school. That was my first introduction into how cruel children could be to one another. I even started bullying other kids in order to fit in. Through the bullying I was a part of, I developed an unhealthy group of friends that introduced me to drugs and alcohol, which eventually resulted in me being removed from the Christian school. Around the same time that I was removed from school, my uncle, who was like a grandfather to me, passed away. At my uncle's funeral, I was baptized, but because of my drug use, I never really learned how to cope with the stresses of life on my own or with the Lord, and as a result, never fully practiced a Christian lifestyle. Even though I was removed from the Christian school, I managed to complete high school through an outreach program and attended college to study business. While I was in college, I became extremely lonely and depressed. Turning to drugs became my coping method and my only friends. After my first year of college, I met a girl. I believed that having a girlfriend would solve my problem with loneliness and decided to move in with her. Because my sole focus turned to this relationship, I ended up flunking out of college. Even though I was not attending college any longer, our relationship held together until my girlfriend raised the question of marriage. I then raised the question of Christianity. She said that she never wanted anything to do with Jesus. After hearing this, I realized that this was not the kind of girl I wanted to marry, so I left at which point I moved back in with my mom and dad. Throughout my life, I had been unable to receive discipline in a healthy manner and brought this mentality with me when I moved back in with my parents. I was constantly lashing out at them, not willing to accept my own shortcomings or failures in life. And within a few months, I decided to move in with a friend from work. This new living situation was extremely toxic, with a lot of partying, disagreements, and zero accountability. When I explained this situation to my mom and dad, they allowed me to move back home under the condition that I was sober and cleaned up my act. When I moved back home, I started a new job at a cannabis growing facility where I was introduced to cocaine through other employees there. Shortly thereafter, my grandmother was diagnosed with cancer and passed away. This sent me even further into depression, causing my cocaine use to spiral out of control and resulting in me using crack cocaine on a regular basis. As a result of my drug addiction and inability to properly cope, my parents intervened and convinced me to get help. So I applied to Teen Challenge. I arrived at the center in the fall of 2022, weighing less than 120 pounds, and as some have mentioned, looking like a dead man walking. At first, I was not sure what life would be like at Teen Challenge, but due to my faith, I was 100% committed to the program. Through God, Teen Challenge has provided me a safe haven to get sober and for my relationship to grow with the Lord. My relationship with family members have been restored, and I've been given a group of friends I can call brothers. I've seen more support from family, friends, staff, and supporters of Teen Challenge than I ever could have imagined. Career opportunities, along with a chance to participate in a short-term mission to El Salvador upon graduation from the program, have even presented themselves. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." I'd like to thank everybody involved in the Chainbreaker charity ride. I look forward to joining you that day on the ride and for the festivities. And I thank you all for having me today.
Thank you, Tanner. So, like I said before, normally when I go out and do these, I've just got the guys with me. So today, having the ladies here from Prairie Hope is a treat. It's special. Once we found out that we can do this today, it's been great. Are you ready, Christine? I've been bugging her for the last 2 days. I saw her on Friday, and I was like, "Are you ready to speak tomorrow?" And she's like, "Tomorrow?" And then I was like, "Oh, wait, I forgot what day it was." So, but now, today is today. Are you ready? Coming up, Christine.
Good morning. My name is Christine. I'm in my 11th month at the program, so I graduate in 6 weeks. I have two boys, 8 and 3. I grew up in a Christian home with 5 siblings. I have 3 brothers and 2 sisters. I'm number 4. I went to a Christian school, but growing up, my mom struggled with an addiction to alcohol. She was a functioning alcoholic, and that was for most of my growing up. And when she would drink, she was not a nice person, and for some reason picked me as her outlet out of all the kids, and was very physically and verbally abusive to me when she would drink. She actually told me, I specifically remember one time, that she didn't love me as much as my sister because I wasn't as good as her. So that really stuck in my mind, and I based my worth growing up on what I could do for other people. I strived really hard to be the best for her all growing up, and I just never quite could reach the bar. So I kind of decided I didn't need my parents. I became really proud, tried to do everything on my own, and didn't talk to anyone or let anyone in. And then went through high school like that, and then I met a boy when I was 17, and I figured that a man would fix everything. And I never, like, I had always knew about God, but never turned to him for to fill that void. I got married when I was 21, and shortly after had my first son. I was married for 9 years and spent those 9 years in a very verbally and emotionally abusive marriage. He actually told me at one point that if he could choose again, he would choose a wife opposite of me. And so after 9 years, we had two sons, and I actually... he ended up having an affair, and that broke our marriage. And in there, to cope, I turned to opioids to numb myself, I guess, to the hurt that I felt. And I prayed, like I remember praying and praying, but I more so prayed and was blaming God, like, why did you let this happen? Why is this? Why am I never good enough? Why? So I was more so angry with him than anything. So we split up, and I moved into my own place with the boys. And shortly after that, my best friend took her own life. And so I was in a very bad place. I remember being in my bedroom, and I was crying out to God to just let me die. I didn't want to live anymore. And instead, that as I was praying that, my dad actually broke into my apartment, which is illegal, I might add. He broke into my apartment, and he begged me to come to Teen Challenge, to which I agreed. And I got here August 10th. I arrived last year at Prairie Hope. It has been the hardest, most challenging year of my life. I've never been away from home. So that was hard. And being away from my children was very hard. But it's been the most rewarding year of my life. God has been doing a lot. When I first got to Prairie Hope, we had to do a mission statement. It's like, I just remember, and I was looking through my papers, and I found mine. So this is from a year ago, and I'm just going to read it because I feel like this is what God has been doing in me over the last year. My prayer for this year is for God to work in my heart to mold me into a woman of integrity, love, and compassion, to have a gentle heart and a giving personality, a calm and empathetic spirit, slow to anger, to give God my heart and attention and go where he leads me, to be honest and trustworthy, someone others look up to be a good mom, an example to my boys of what it means to live for God, to have a servant's heart and be a prayer warrior, to have an attitude of joy and gratitude, to be sure of myself, who I am in Christ, with all my flaws and imperfections, to be a witness to others, a leader who thinks before I speak. I want to spread hope and love with the knowledge that God is in complete control and we do not need to worry or fear about anything. I want to live with God's peace that surpasses all understanding, boldness, and a faith that can never be shaken. There are some scars that I will carry for my entire life. The difference is learning to embrace and love them, realizing they do not define me but have helped in molding and growing me into an honest companion, trustworthy friend, daughter, and sister, an imperfect mom who loves the Lord and can use my story to help and encourage others. And I have an Isaiah 30, 18 to 22. It says, "The Lord God is waiting to show how kind he is. and to have pity on you. The Lord always does right. He blesses those who trust him. The Lord is kind, and as soon as he hears your cries for help, he will come. The Lord has given you trouble and sorrow as your food and drink, but now you will again see the Lord, your teacher, and he will guide you. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice saying, "This is the road, now follow it." Then you will treat your idols of silver and gold like garbage. You will throw them away like filthy rags. The Lord gives me trouble as my food when I'm going down the wrong path. But when I finally decide to listen, God will be right there telling me how to get back on the right one. I won't carry shame anymore for my past. It's who I was, not who I am. And it has given me wisdom, love, and so much more understanding and compassion for others that are at crossroads in their life. I will allow God to lead my life because he will always come through. That's it. Thank you.
Good job. That was awesome. I love hearing these stories. I can hear them 100 times over, and I'll never get tired of hearing them. Because I love to hear what God is doing in their lives. I love to hear that recovery story. I love to hear that hope that they have now. It's amazing. The people that you heard from today, they've experienced God's love firsthand. There's no doubt that their lives and their destinies have been changed. These men and women at Teen Challenge, they come to the program, they come broken, battling this addiction, battling struggles. And during their time, they can discover or they can rediscover Christ and grow that personal relationship with him. They're on a journey. Our ministry works, but we do need your support. I know this church supports us very well. The cost to enter our program, I don't know if anybody knows, but the cost to enter the Teen Challenge program is $1,100. So $1,100, and that's it. For the entire year, for 12 months. There are so many other programs out there that are 6 months, 3 months, whatever they are, and they cost thousands upon thousands of dollars to get in. $1,100 is all we have. We don't do the government funding part. We want to do this all by donations. That's how we do it. We operate completely on individual donations from businesses, churches like this one, people like yourselves. So with your stuff today, you may have gotten one of these. This is our Journey brochure pamphlet. This is our sponsorship program. You can sponsor Teen Challenge for $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you want to do, or you can do a one-time gift. Like your pastor said, we've got the box out at the back. We've got all the information at the table. We've got a debit machine back there as well. But when you give to Teen Challenge here, you're giving to the ones here in Saskatchewan. This money doesn't go off to do the ones in Alberta. It doesn't go off to do the ones in Ontario. The money you give stays here in Saskatchewan to help the men and women of Saskatchewan, to help support what we need here in our own province. And your giving each and every single month is the backbone of our ministry. And it's the catalyst that the Lord can use and continues to use to change the lives of people and give them hope and give them freedom. But you may not be in a place financially to give, and that's understandable. I get it. Times are tough right now. There are other ways to help. We've got events that we have throughout the year. Yesterday, this one here is just yesterday. We did our golf tournament just yesterday. We were a little worried that we weren't going to make our total of amount of people that we needed. We ended up having 110 golfers come out. It was amazing. We did our spring gala earlier in the year. And again, that God showed up. And we were just blown away by the generosity and what God can do. But coming up, we have another one. How many people here? This is the next event that we do have coming up is my least favorite event that we, I just do not like this one at all. How many people like to run? I'm with everybody who didn't put their hand up. Coming up, we have a Freedom Run, which is a 10K marathon. Oh, that's a lot of running. But you can also do a 5K walk or run. Now, I'm more about the walking, but still, walking 5K, that's a long distance. That's a lot. And there's no 7-Eleven at the end of it, so it's just no fun. But if you want to know more information about that, come see me at the table afterwards, and we can give you some more information. But I don't even have all my information for that one yet. But then the other one that we have coming up was already announced. This one's not even our event. And I want to thank the guys from here, from this church that are putting this event on. What I'm hearing about this event is blowing me away. I am so blessed for you guys, and thank you for you guys for being willing to take this event on. But this Chainbreaker ride, I'm looking forward to it. I'm stoked. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see what God's going to go do through it. Tanner gets to be part of it, which is amazing. I think you're going to be taking pictures, so he's going to be on the back of a bike taking pictures. I'm going to be in my four wheels in a car just driving along with them. I don't trust myself on a pedal bike, let alone a motorbike. So, but we are looking forward to those events coming up. You never know who God has planned across your lives. You never know, walking through the grocery store, walking down the street, what God is going to put in your path. So we want to be a help for you, and we want you to be prepared that if you do come across somebody who needs help, who is struggling with an addiction, we want you to be prepared to be able to help them. We've got a couple of websites that we have. Our first one is changelives.ca. Now, this website is completely testimonies. You want to share with someone, hey, look, this is what God can do for you. This is what Teen Challenge can do for you. Take them here. Show them these websites. Show them these testimonies. We've got so many people that have entered the program just by watching some of those testimonies. The other website is our main website, teenchallenge.ca. This is our, like I said, our main website. This is where you can go to get all the information about who we are, what we do. But if you do know someone who needs help, this is the website you take them. There's a tab that says Get Help Now. Apply to the program. Start the process. There's paperwork that has to be done. Get that process started. It's not an easy process, is it? It takes time. Sometimes you'll get the paperwork and then you'll be like, nope. Walk away from it. Come back to that later. But if you know someone who needs the help, encourage them every day to get the help they need. But the most important thing that we ask beyond finances, beyond anything else, the most important thing that I ask that you do for us is to pray for us. This ministry is built on prayer. We exist because of the prayers, and we are sustained through prayer. Pray for our staff. Pray for the needs to be met. Pray a blessing for those who can give. But most importantly, pray for the men and women that are in Teen Challenge right now. Pray for their health. Pray for their safety. Pray for their recovery. And pray for the healing hand of God on their lives. I hope that what we've been able to share with you today has been an insight into our program, but has also been an encouragement. I like doing these outreaches because we want to just not just advertise who we are, but that's why we do the testimony, so that you can hear what God is doing. Because a lot of times, even in churches, we can forget that God is actually still moving. We kind of forget sometimes. We just go through the motions. Hearing these testimonies is evidence that God is still moving. God is still changing lives. It doesn't matter what you're going through. There's a lot of struggles in life. We have struggles every day. Big, small struggles. God is still moving. God can still work in your life, and he will change something for you. We want to be an encouragement and reminder for those reasons. There's a little verse that I like to have too, and it's Psalms 73:26. It says, my body and my heart may grow weak, but God is the strength of my heart and all I need forever. A lot of times we will get to a point when we have nothing left and we realize that God is the only thing that we have, and then we realize that, yes, God is all we really need. We need to surrender our lives to him. I don't know where you are in your lives, but just keep that in your heart. God is still in control. God is still moving, and he still wants to change lives. So thank you for having us here today. We're going to stay for the barbecue, so if you want to talk with some of these men and these ladies, that'll be great. Get to hear some of their stories. Get to talk to some of them. Avoid Oakland. He's a little... And then the other one we need to maybe have a little concern about is Gordy, which is fine. You won't be able to understand him anyway. He's from Newfoundland, so good luck. He's just hard to understand in general, so. But get to talk to these guys. Get to talk to them. They are fantastic people to get to know. Like I said yesterday at the golf tournament, I don't consider them just clients. I consider them friends. And it's been my joy to get to know every single one of you. So you, when you get to talk to them, yeah, I know, I touched your heart, Oakland. I know. I'm such a... But thank you for having us here today. Again, I just want to thank you for all that you've done for us, all the support that you've given us, and everything you do. So thank you, Pastor.
Thank you so much for coming. The reason that some of the women are here and the men is because I'm high maintenance, and some things went on, and I begged Terry on the phone, please, please, and he was gracious and said yes. So it worked out really cool, and I'm glad to have all of you here. Tanner, it must have been shortly after you were entered the center, you came here for the men's conference, right? You look like a different person today. And when you mentioned that whole aspect of, you know, I look like a dead man walking, what a transformation God has done in your life. Very exciting. Yeah. God is good. Hey, God is good. Amen. One of the things that I've been learning from someone, you know what? The coolest thing is, I mean, we're a little bit, we have a bit of a disadvantage. Alan is further away. The Women's Center is so close. And so we have the privilege of getting to know through different events and different things some of the women really well. And so I appreciate that. And I think, Christine, I think it was like a couple of weeks after you, it seems like you were there like 2 weeks when we met you, first of all, and to see the journey has been incredible. One of the things that I've been learning from someone is, how do we see them as individuals, not the addict with the problem? And they are people who are made in the image of God, who are walking in victory. And I love that. One of the things that I so appreciate about Teen Challenge is, and there are two of my friends in Teen Challenge, Carrie and Cindy, when they shared their story with me, they said something that was so key and that I just absolutely appreciate so much, and it sold me on Teen Challenge, is both of them, when they shared their God story, said, I am free of my addiction. It doesn't mean that they don't struggle or they don't have challenges, but they are free because Jesus Christ has set them free. And when you say that, not once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, and you know, whatever, I don't want to get into the information of a debate about that, but I do appreciate when you say that I am free, I'm walking in victory. And so who are these people? They're made in the image of likeness of God, and from here on forward, they are a new creation, and they're new people. So I'm learning stuff from my friends at Teen Challenge, and I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah, take some time to get to know them. They have a story beyond their addiction, too. And take some time to get to know them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for who you are, how you work. And Father, today, even if there's somebody today who is struggling with addiction, God, I pray that you would just give them the boldness to reach out for the help that they need. It's a hard, hard journey, but God, you are faithful in that journey. Carry them. Father, too, I pray that you bless the food and bless the fellowship today. And God, I want to give you and leave you with this blessing. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you incredible peace. Pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.